This show is not a financial advice. Bitcoin and shitcoins involve risk. Consult with a professional before investing.
All right. Well, I guess at this point, I am going to hand things over to Kari Zagoras and BTC Chap. Hope everybody enjoys the rest of the stream. Remember, have fun.
You too, man. See you around.
Yeah, thank you.
All right, let me set that thing up quick. If I can actually find it, because I put it over here. Yep, got it. Just a moment, because I'm trying to... Okay, there we go. There we go. All right, I think we can get started. If any of you want to use video camera, that's totally fine. Put on a mask. Don't dox yourself. And don't go too crazy with the drinks, because the Hackers Congress, Pound of Police, HTCP TV, Bitcoin Rehab episode is right now starting.
Yeah.
Yeah, people. Okay.
Looking forward.
Oh, this is going to be quite a crazy ride tonight. We've been having all kinds of interesting people here tonight, like having JC Stark talk about guns, 3D printing. That was quite crazy, like seriously. And then Mimetic Warfare by Frank Brown, and then some Multisig from Elikos. But I guess we will see more of them tomorrow, or the guest is going to be seeing more tomorrow on the workshop than the main stages. So yeah, there we go. Pretty Flake already got his camera on. Let me turn this thing off. Okay. We can go over. Oh, there's a victory sign. All right. Okay, guys. So I think most of the viewers here at Hackers Congress don't really know you guys. So I think it's better if we start off with introduction. So let's start off. Who's willing to start off?
I can start. I mean, I have been around since a while. I have been also joining you for like 3 episodes now of the Bitcoin Rehab podcast. My name is PD Chap, and yeah, around since like 5 years in the Bitcoin sphere, enjoying it a lot and getting in touch with the Bitcoiners, trying to educate friends and family and also some strangers on the internet. Yeah, basically.
It's cool, cool. Glad to have you here again.
I appreciate it.
So who's next?
Hi, everyone. Hey. Can you hear me all right?
Yeah, we can hear you loud and clear.
I'm Pretty Flaco. Hi. Very happy to be invited and to join you guys. And yeah, I'm a Bitcoiner who's trying to create awareness for Bitcoin, where the filter bubble basically stops the message. And yeah, so part of doing the Bitcoin awareness game, active here in the local community in Munich. And playing around with Lightning. And I think just Bitcoin is such an awesome technology that more people need to hear about it and understand it. So yeah, that's it, I think.
I think the studio again is focusing on us already, so just keep going. I'm going to reach out to somebody in the studio and then see if we can fix the camera, because we can't see you on the live stream. So yeah, I think Empty Banks, you can come up and start talking. And then I think we can have... Who's here? Is Kraus here? Just feel free to unmute yourself and you can talk. Come on, Stackmore, introduce yourself. or whoever wants to.
What's up, what's up?
Hey, we can hear you, you're live.
Hey, run the banks. What's going on? What are you guys drinking?
Espresso.
Espresso, yeah.
So did you miss out on the beginning, or are you just, oh, there's the beer. Okay, that's what we were waiting for.
Oh, can you guys hear me okay?
Yeah.
Awesome. From Run the Banks / Empty Banks, winning Bitcoin for going on 7 years now. Focusing on hustling and getting paid in Bitcoin rather than fiat. And that's kind of been my challenge over the past several years, is to basically work and get paid in Bitcoin, and then if I have to pay bills and buy food that don't accept Bitcoin, and then I got to convert it to some dirty fiat, and unfortunately for the short term take part in the dirty fiat game. But other than that, just enjoying the shit posting and hanging out with some Bitcoin people.
Awesome.
That's cool. And we heard we see you do some pretty nice handworking and some internal design also.
Yeah, it's over the years I've been kind of honing all the trades. I didn't start out in construction. I started out in music and film. I had building and designing was kind of a hobby. And I had an opportunity to, bail out a friend's shop. A friend was kind of hurting. And, so basically I bought into a partnership, and I had a better idea of the direction of the shop and getting more into interior design and building, but more for offices with a focus on tech offices, because typically like CEOs and CFOs and CTOs working in the tech space, they're more knowledgeable than any other business as far as Bitcoin and this whole movement that's happening. So the whole idea behind it was to get in to provide a valuable service and get paid in Bitcoin at the same time, rather than just hustling for fiat, getting taxed and, that kind of thing. But I also do a lot of special builds for people's personal homes. But yeah, it's a lot of fun. It's more like a hobby. I mean,
it's pretty cool though.
Yeah, it's true. I was once tweeting the same thing. Like, if you're like, make sure if you're working in a 9-to-5 job, make sure you're working at least for the hardest money available, right?
Yeah, that's the whole goal, to actually get paid in Bitcoin and, have your clients pay, give your clients like your wallet address, and at the same time, you're also educating your clients. You're actually red pilling a whole bunch of people that, many of my clients, it's their first time ever discovering what Bitcoin is. So, when we talk about, in the contracts, when we talk about payments, I always recommend that, I get paid directly in Bitcoin, and, then they start the questions, and it's almost like a way where I'm red pilling more people. And sometimes, they might not understand or they go for it. So what I'll do is I'll have them like download the Cash App, and then they can pay me directly through the Cash App. And then I can actually open the next door. It's like, hey, you can actually buy Bitcoin on Cash App, and then you can just send me Bitcoin, and here's my wallet address. So it's
all right. Sorry to interrupt you. I think we managed to get the Stackmore's microphone fixed. So I'd like to jump in and steer this a little bit. Maybe Stackmore could introduce himself.
Yeah, well, so I'm a lonely maximalist from Turkey. That's why I really need Bitcoin Twitter more than most of you guys. Because like, I mean, Turkey has huge inflation problems, a shitty government, shitty money, but people don't grasp the beauty of Bitcoin yet, and a lot of people go into shitcoin stuff. So time to time, I feel lonely in here, and Bitcoin Twitter was there to help me. And yeah, so what I do is, I'm not an artist, I'm not a programmer, but I am good at shilling, meaning that I have a talent for discovering good projects. And like, I know, like, I guess BTC Pay Server, I was very early with Loli, Thunder Games, Umbrel, Wasabi Wallet. I have a feeling for good projects and good actors, and so far it's going good for me. I really enjoy the space, and yeah.
That's really cool.
That's about me.
And what do you do right now? Do you work or anything?
Yes, I work. I never worked a 9-to-5 job. I was a little lucky about that. So, I mean, I worked a 10-to-4 job. And then the person I was working with switched the company, and he left that company to me, and I started to sell industrial press drives. And after that, I started to make some composting machinery. Now I'm building them and selling them. So, yeah.
I need to steer this because we barely got like 45 minutes, and there's going to be so much story here that we need to explore quickly. So, Pretty Flaco, want to tell us a bit about your project that you're running right now with the stickers and stuff?
Yeah, sure. So, the project output is called Bitcoin Street Art. And that's basically all you need to know about the project. It basically is an aggregator of Bitcoin street art around the world. And the stickers are just one way, basically, to do Bitcoin street art. And since there was no Bitcoin street art, well, there was a little bit. Actually, it goes back to 2011, when an anonymous guy paid some random guy 32 Bitcoin so he would hold up a Bitcoin sign in a busy intersection, which read like, buy Bitcoin, stop the Fed. And that was probably the first time someone paid someone else to do promotion or marketing for Bitcoin. Later on, there were quite a few people who tried to create awareness for Bitcoin with the stickers. But it was only a short-lived project, from what I can see. So it was not a sustainable project. And with the advent of the Lightning Network, we have the fabulous possibility to incentivize people to create Bitcoin street art. So we're doing that. We are basically paying out a little bounty of 615 Satoshis to Bitcoin street artists or photographers of Bitcoin street art. And it's been going quite good so far. So there's a lot of submissions from all over the world with the sticker designs that were open sourced. And a lot of new countries are joining the game, or rather more individuals from many different regions. I don't really care about the nation state they are at. It's just important that they create awareness among their peers for Bitcoin. So when Bitcoin really becomes the standard, no one can really say, well, nobody told me. And that's basically it. And what else would you like to know? I don't know where to start.
Figure out why Crypto Graffiti blocked your account.
Pardon? Oh, well, why Crypto Graffiti blocked Bitcoin street art? I think he is the best person to ask this question. I can't really answer it because I'm not running the account of Bitcoin street art, but a close friend is from our Bitcoin community here in Munich.
Yeah, I think I interviewed him this morning, actually.
I lost your audio. Can you hear me?
I think I interviewed him this morning. We were here like at 7 a.m. this morning. What was his face? Oh my God, I totally forgot his name. Something. Kevin Ravensburg, right? Or was a different guy?
Kevin is someone who's playing the Bitcoin awareness game.
Oh, yeah. Okay, all right. I mixed them up. Okay, all right, sorry. All right, so... Yeah.
I can't tell you why Crypto Graffiti blocked the account. I think there was some misunderstanding probably, but he didn't like something and the way the account operates and... But he didn't give an explanation really.
Okay, so what kind of plans do you guys have with Bitcoin street art? What do you see like going forward, then other than you know the guerrilla advertising and then paying people with the project with the Bitcoin awareness game?
I think it's the main story here is not really only just to create awareness for Bitcoin, but it's also an attempt at creating a distributed Bitcoin marketing department that consists of Bitcoiners and basically to provide them the tools to become good Bitcoiners who can transact in Bitcoin on-chain, on the Lightning Network, with BTC Pay server, sell their own stickers, become Bitcoin business entrepreneurs. You know, if someone can sell stickers, he can sell anything. And
but we lost him there for a second, didn't we?
All stuff on the internet nowadays, whether it be
my VPN is dying, sorry.
Digital. Did you just hear what I said, or was it an audio issue?
I think my VPN is dying, or maybe the connection to Polis is dying. I don't know. Okay, let's have a mic check. Is everybody there? Are you guys alive?
Check.
Okay, that's working over there. Okay.
Hi, Cargo. I'm still here if you hear me.
Yeah, okay, all right.
So I could hear you really well.
All right. Feel free to continue. Yeah.
Okay, so... Yeah, so basically it's about giving the tools necessary to do good Bitcoin marketing in a distributed way for Bitcoin, because we certainly need to raise awareness for this technology. And certainly also too many people don't know yet about it. I would say the biggest majority of humans on this planet don't really know Bitcoin or haven't really looked into it or got some for themselves. So this needs to change, and it needs to be done proactively, because from what I can tell, there's a media blackout on Bitcoin. They are not reporting honestly on Bitcoin. All the major outlets, they are really trying to disseminate FUD mostly. And so they're not going to be allies in this endeavor, and we have to do it ourselves. And it's important that we do it ourselves, because for a peaceful transition, you want as few people left behind as possible, in my opinion.
Government is more increasingly having control over the media also, like in Hungary, for example, Viktor Orban's crony capitalists are owning the entire media landscape there, for example. But then in other countries, like in the West, they're like media bias on the left, most likely, which is kind of pushing more of these economic agendas ahead with politics, What do you guys think about that?
Absolutely. It's not only like... it's not only politics or politicians. It's also social media corporations that have algorithms to basically forbid certain content. And art is still free on the internet, mostly. I mean, our enemy is a little bit copyright and stuff like that. But art is still, you can basically run ads on Google. If it's art, they can't really block it, even if it's about a cryptocurrency. And that would actually be a reason to ban an ad if it's about cryptocurrency. But if it's art, you can advertise Bitcoin, and that's pretty powerful. So I'm looking into that. And I think also it's censorship resistant, and everyone can choose their own message. And it's not only the sticker in the street, but it's also the sticker on the internet that gets disseminated. And so the bigger it grows, I hope that more people will join the game and spread the word about Bitcoin. Not only in their local community, but also in their country and their continent, because, you know, the internet can carry stuff pretty wide.
Yeah, that's a really awesome aspect of the whole art kind of business, that it's really tough to censor it, because where does it stop? Where does it begin? It's like a very blurred thing, right?
Yeah, it definitely is. You don't want to be accused to be like the Nazis, you know? They were the ones who were forbidding art and confiscating it. And there was something called entartete Kunst, which was basically degenerate art that they labeled as such. Art can never be degenerate, guys. And it's never vandalism either. So if you see or hear someone say, man, putting stickers on the streets or graffiti or stuff like that is vandalism, you can tell them kindly to fuck off, because it's, yeah, I don't want to say they're as bad as Nazis, but the Nazis did it too, you know?
No, I see your point, yeah. That's a really, really good point. Interesting train of thought, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You also can't forget that this is it's an underground movement. So, you know, despite all the media FUD and all the BS that's going on in mainstream media, it has always been, and but soon to be short of, an underground movement. And art has always been an underground movement. There's been so much positivity come out of. Especially street art, and I love this concept.
Yeah, like there are multiple artists in this space, like Bitpaint does really nice graffitis, also in legal graffitis, actually, in France and other places also. It's quite fascinating how it's kind of like developing in this bigger space thing.
Yeah, and if Banksy is listening, what about a Bitcoin art piece somewhere in London?
Hell yeah.
Yeah, man, Banksy, do it.
That would be more bullets than trying to hold Bitcoin.
Excuse me, we didn't hear that.
We didn't hear that, man.
I said that would be more bullish than China banning Bitcoin.
That is absolutely true, man. Yeah.
like this is like a crazy topic also. Like, China banned Bitcoin like 7 times already, and India is trying like for the 3rd time now. When are they gonna be learning when it's impossible to ban it?
I think they learned their lesson. That's why they're coming out with the CCP crypto.
That's the most hilarious thing. I mean, a fiat crypto, a central bank cryptocurrency, is actually, it might sound to a noob like a good idea or something innovative, but what it is, in fact, it's like turning all the positive aspects of Bitcoin 180 degrees and negating it into the exact opposite. Yeah, you have the most centralized thing. You can manipulate the money supply however you want. You can freeze any amount that you want, and everybody is completely transparent. You can like see through every transaction. That's like the worst thing in the world from a privacy perspective. A centralized fiat cryptocurrency. The worst thing.
That's the beauty of Bitcoin. Is one of the more beautiful things of Bitcoin is the whole game theory aspect. You know, with nation states. You know, it's like, you know, they realize they can't beat it, so now they have to compete with it, and eventually they're going to realize they can't compete with it, so they're going to have to join it.
I totally agree. But at this time, when they actually recognize that they cannot defend themselves against it, that's going to be the interesting part. At the moment, we are really early. I tweet all the time about, I think Jeff Bezos' net worth is like 98% of Bitcoin's market cap. So we're incredibly early at the moment, and we will have to travel a long way until we are there. But when that actually happens, oh my God, that's going to be the game changer. Yeah,
this kind of, we arrived to our topic, digital totality. Yeah, I think that's our topic here, basically. Like, it's how nation state is now figured out it has to encroach on our freedoms and liberties. That's what, like, kind of like the whole point.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos' like net worth may be nearly as much as Bitcoin's, but his liquidity is not even a fraction, I think. So if you don't have that liquidity, I really don't think you have that network, or like, yeah, it's an illusion, basically.
Yeah, I see your point. He could basically, he could try to buy some, I mean, he would basically be able to buy Coca-Cola with his net worth, but would he actually be able to buy it? That's a question, right?
Yeah, like that would never happen. And he wouldn't, I don't know how many million coins he could get.
How far he would pump up the price. So yeah.
Stool Presidente. Like stool Presidente, let's just buy all Bitcoins. Yeah, I wish you good luck with that, really.
We can't there. Don't do it. That's not going to end well for his net worth, probably.
No.
If someone owns all the Bitcoin, then the network is worthless.
I mean, if you think about it, like, you know, somebody who wants to put that much money into Bitcoin, it requires a lot of work and a lot of planning. I mean, look at what Michael Saylor did recently. It took him 40 days, a month and a half almost, to acquire the Bitcoin that he had to acquire. And he basically soaked up so much of the new minted Bitcoins. So, I mean, you think about it, there's really not that much Bitcoin available. I mean, you know, we're over 18 million Bitcoin already mined.
Yeah, I mean, everything is child's play. As soon as we are seeing banks, central banks, starting to back their currency with Bitcoin, then we are at the interesting point. Then we will just add zeros to the market value, or to the price of one Bitcoin. But until now, no country would ever be so crazy like to admit that they're starting to back their fiat with Bitcoin. Nobody would ever, no country would ever admit that, right?
But if they would start doing it, then it would be like a cascade into like multiple countries just starting to custody Bitcoin as for their national central banks, actually.
Yeah, and I think there is a huge incentive for all those countries to not back their or not to at least communicate that they're starting to back their currency with Bitcoin, because what actually will happen is that the value of the currency will appreciate, and you don't want that. Actually, what you want is a cheap currency. Otherwise, you will not be able to export. So even if they are starting to back their currency, that's only a last resort effort against hyperinflation. But you, in general, the euro, the yuan, and the dollar, they need to be cheap in order for the US economy, the Chinese economy, and the European economies to just be able to export.
You know, Switzerland was the last country to leave the gold standard in 2000.
Hold on a second. Empty Max, can you mute your microphone, because you're really, really pushing into the stream? Okay. Okay, continue.
Wait, maybe? Okay. Anyhow, Switzerland abandoned gold standard in 2000, actually. Like, they were printing four times the amount of gold reserves they had. And the reason they abandoned it was that their currency was getting too valuable and they couldn't trade. So they couldn't export. So that's why they ended up, they gave up basically. And same with Euro, Germany, for example, German mark would be so valuable right now because the balance of outgoing and incoming trade is very different. But having Bulgaria, Romania, and all those countries involved with Euro keeps the Euro down. So
I think, if I may add to this nation state discussion, that nation state didn't really have the technology until now to appropriately hold Bitcoin until recently. So I think if they are buying, then this is going to be starting now. And there was a workshop for the Spectre desktop and the multisig and stuff, which makes it really easy with PSBT transactions and stuff. So this technology is necessary, in my opinion, for a nation state to appropriately hold Bitcoin, because they can't go to, I don't know, one of these custodians like Chapo or Nux, and they really have to take custody of their Bitcoin, and they have to make sure that one person doesn't really run away with all the Bitcoins. So they need to apply multisig, and the way to do that was not really easy until recently. So I think with the technology now getting there, we can assume that they will start, and they won't announce it, of course, because that would just be crazy. But I'm pretty sure they are looking into this.
Yeah, and what is the cool thing is it doesn't matter who starts, right? So because you have the epic prisoner's dilemma, the ones that start will be ahead of the curve and will gain in capital or in purchasing power so much that the others will not be want to be left outside. The United States are at the moment in a very comfortable situation. They're providing the world reserve currency, but that is going to change. And those in the United States, therefore, will be probably most likely one of the last countries that actually will embrace Bitcoin. So a lot of interesting things might happen in the future. For instance, North Korea or Venezuela will have probably a larger stack than the United States. They probably already do. You know? Yeah, that's the funny part. Yeah,
this is what is interesting is that you know who in the end going to profit off of this actually. You know, it's not the countries, but actually the end user is us.
Yeah.
Well, for Venezuela case, for example, I don't think the people will benefit from it. I mean, there will be certain individuals that are probably getting Bitcoin with the country's money, but I don't think it will be for the good of the people there. So it's
but the incentive to start accumulating stacking sets into HODL is higher, and you will at the end have a population that is on average very wealthy. You know?
Yeah, but I think eventually Maduro may just end up owning the Bitcoin, the Bitcoins that they got for Venezuela.
Yeah, but confiscating Bitcoins is a tough thing to do. I mean,
well, but it's like such a dictatorship, you know. So you don't know what kind of multisigs they have, or even if they have multisigs. So they may be buying Bitcoin with the tax money or whatever money Venezuela has, and they may just end up leaving with that. You know, it may not be a national reserve. That's what I'm trying to say at the end.
Yeah, I think in the end, what will happen, or what is quite likely, what was also very well described in the book, The Sovereign Individual, was that if you have a class of really wealthy individuals, guys that own 6.15 bitcoins, you would find some country that would like to attract the individuals, and they would change the legislation in a way that they attract those guys, and then you will this country will benefit significantly. They will have a better economic position. They have a lot of purchasing power, a lot of wealthy people. Imagine something like, I don't know, like Nizza or a place, or Switzerland, for instance. Yeah, they just attract people that are wealthy by doing tax incentives for them. And then other countries will become jealous and will say, okay, we have two chances now. We crack down, we start sanctioning them, or we try to do the same thing. Sanctioning Bitcoin is a tough thing. I mean, it's almost impossible. So they will have to become like more Bitcoin friendly on a medium long term, regardless, if they want a piece of the cake, right?
Yeah, I agree with that. Starting maybe with Portugal even, or some countries like that. But then again, like, you know, we said maybe Venezuela is already accumulating as a government. That's the part that I don't like. For example, I'm Turkish. I would not like to make them accumulate Bitcoin at the moment. If I had the power to talk to someone reasonable within the government, let's say, which is really hard to find, and let's say if I convince them to hold Bitcoin in reserves, I don't trust them. You know, like, they could be gone with the Bitcoin that were bought for the whole country, you know. So
corruption, they would steal the Bitcoin and just leave with it. Yeah, that would
be possible. That's what I'm worried about. Like, really,
You need national multisig accounts or something that you control, like you control the nuclear launch keys have like the president ultimately control who gets the money and where. And there is ultimate accountability within one nation how to control these reserve assets. Because if you don't do that, it just, you know, they're just going to end up stealing it.
But Turkey, like only 5 companies in Turkey got the highest, the top 10 in the list of top 10 companies that got the highest government tenders. 5 of them are Turkish companies in the world. Like, there's China with billions of population, there's United States with a lot of infrastructure spending and this and that, and 5 Turkish companies got the highest government tenders in the world.
You're not alone. So, the same shit is happening in Hungary also, like Lőrinc Mészáros's companies are always the ones that are getting the sand projects and the public development.
Yeah, so I rather have countries print money and individuals get smart and collect Bitcoin.
Yeah, it will always be the individual first. I mean, governments in general are not particularly smart. I mean, watch the news. It's like obvious that we will have the early adopters, and those guys will be the ones that have more power over Bitcoin than many governments. And then the governments will be forced to like lure them into their legislation, if you want, by incentivizing or by reducing taxes or whatnot. Malta, Portugal, all those countries. Yeah, I see that happening. I think you will not like a country. You need a country with a lot of financial power in order to be able to amass a large amount of bitcoins. Unless you have the North Korean hackers, they can also do some stuff. But yeah, I think they will have to like just try to attract bitcoiners rather than purchase bitcoins for themselves, because they will be too late. They will not get it until it's too late, I guess.
It will be funny to watch the governments release the pheromones to attract the Bitcoiners. You know, like, I really want to see that happen.
Yeah.
Take these pheromones, like, give me your Bitcoin, or like, no, keep your Bitcoin or yourself within my borders, blah, blah, blah. It will be interesting.
That's what we have been discussing last time with Shinobi already. Like, If you, for instance, would say Malta is the go-to destination for a Bitcoiner because of tax reasons and legislation, and whatnot, then you would be able to even call Malta, let's say, a citadel, right? Then you would have a very Bitcoin-friendly country with a lot of capital and with wealthy net worth individuals and you would high net worth individuals and you would be able to call this particular country probably a citadel, right?
Probably, yeah. Yes.
By the way, I saw you started to work on your citadel, started with the flag.
Oh yeah, with the flag.
Yeah, I got mine printed yesterday, so I also started with the flag, but I mean, of course, it's always Bitcoin first and then the flag, but whatever. You
know. Yeah, we need to, like, you know, make these kind of things, you know, culturally aligned and ideologically at least. So how do you guys see, like, the space developing ideologically? Are we going to see more toxic Bitcoiners appearing out of nowhere? Because lately I've been seeing some really interesting development in relation to it, with more newbies popping up and they following the more radicalized ideology of number goes up. What do you guys think about it?
For me, I became a toxic Bitcoiner by being a shitcoiner first. So this is something I'm not like, I would be careful. I took the shitcoin detour and it was quite, let's say, sobering, and it was also quite interesting, and it made me become a hardcore Bitcoiner. I assume in the end everybody will end up at Bitcoin, regardless their journey. Hopefully nobody will take the shitcoin detour, but many will. I assume that nowadays it's less pronounced than it was 2017. Everybody was gambling in the shitcoin casino and the ERC20 tokens, but I guess right now I hope we did a great job already, this toxic community, if you want to call it like that, and I think we saved a lot of people a lot of money by doing so. Yeah,
I agree. I think a lot has been done recently by great educators and evangelists getting creative in this field and really solidifying the knowledge that has been gathered in more than 11 years of Bitcoin. And I think one big challenge is really to keep the important learnings vivid and alive for the newcomers and to repeat them, be it with bots or with educational sites, because the human memory is short-lived and it needs a few repetitions. And you all remember, you all dismissed Bitcoin the first time you heard about it.
It's true.
And only after a few repetitions, you really found the courage to look into it. So it's a lot of preaching to be done to keep everyone on board, but also we need to elevate the discussion a little bit and not explain all the time anymore and spend energy on explaining why Bitcoin, not shitcoins. I think we have to find mechanisms and techniques where we can basically establish this learning now once and for all and concentrate our energy on building, because in my opinion, Bitcoin is doing a great job in many things, but when I look on certain fronts, there is still a lot of work to be done, especially when it comes to communities managing Bitcoin. And I think Ethereum and all these people working on that, their foundation is bullshit and it's shaky and it's a house of cards. But on this house of cards, they are trying to innovate for communities, how to manage basically so that when a nation state, for example, wants to hold, or let a citadel want to hold Bitcoin, so that the guy who is the head of treasury can't run away with it. And so basically that all people in the citadel have a say in how the community funds are being distributed for certain public goods, or not everything can be private, you know. There's going to be some common goods, the commons, and it needs to be managed, and multisig is one step into this direction, but we need more steps. And I'm really hoping that on top of the Lightning network, and there can be some sophisticated mechanisms built in the future.
Yeah, it's an interesting thought experiment, let's say, just for the argument's sake. Karu gets a call from Viktor Orban tomorrow and said, hey, you know something? I'm thinking about adding Bitcoin to the national reserve. The question would be, would you actually go there, you know, or would
you? If he pays me 6.15 and that's a couple big titty bitches, anyway.
that's a question we would have to ask ourselves, you know, because we are against fiat. But if somebody that has a lot of power comes from some governmental agency, whatever, and wants to obtain knowledge, they need to go to those Bitcoiners, yeah, to those OG Bitcoiners. And I mean, this is worlds colliding what we are talking about here, right? It was like, you can't go to Goldman Sachs, right?
They can just listen to us all the time and then they'll figure it out eventually.
Angela Merkel, if you're listening to this, give me a brief ping in Twitter. Do you even have a Twitter account? I can recommend that. Twitter is a funny thing. Yeah.
I'm sure every good Bitcoiner will really ask for a really hefty premium price.
I don't think it's available on their BlackBerry.
You're right. Is there a Bitcoin wallet for BlackBerry? Questions over questions.
Yeah, I mean, someone developed that shit. So let's just step back a tiny bit, because there was a really interesting topic about this, what Flico said. This was said by Frank Brown, that the Bitcoiners should be less toxic and less focused on their own echo chambers, and they should be communicating more with people on the other side. But what do you guys think about it? Like, could you ever imagine yourself going out of your comfort zone and going over to Ether conferences or shitcoin conferences, even the scam conferences, in order to talk with those scammers?
You know,
and then
actually,
just, you know,
I would go to the World Economics Forum. That is something I would go to, because a shitcoin conference, I don't care about it.
But you know, hold on.
Economic Forum would get you so annoyed. Like, seeing how retarded those people are, like, you would lose your hope for the humanity. Like, these people have a huge impact on our future, you know, so...
It is true, but isn't it worth much more to discuss with, I don't know, Christian Lagarde about the future of humanity than with Vitalik Buterin?
Okay,
yeah,
according
course,
to Frank, yes. Maybe you would
talk more likely to
Vitalik Buterin.
No, two guys were speaking at the same time.
I'm sorry. I would rather go to a kindergarten and teach them young, you know? Like,
yeah.
Lagarde is a dinosaur already, so whatever.
Yeah, let that asteroid come finally.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. The thing is, the dinosaurs had no chance. You know, the dinosaurs had no chance. But I think we will. I mean, if we finally start embracing money for what it is, a store of value, and
Actually, that's quite interesting, because people from the samurai side wouldn't agree with you at all, and they would start, you know, shit talking you for it. Because, you know, people who's more closely aligned with samurai, they're more open towards having interactions with Monero, because they consider it an interesting technology, for example. And like, for them, it's a different echo chamber that they're in, that they don't like this so-called maximalism, for example, where we do number go up and stack sets, because for them, it's more privacy violating and it's unacceptable for their side, for example.
I see that point. I mean, yeah, that's like, we have several frontiers at the Bitcoin space, let's say. One thing is to onboard the normies that have no idea that they're being ripped off by fiat currencies. And the other thing is fixing privacy of Bitcoin. I mean, yeah, absolutely. There are many aspects of Bitcoin that you have to improve. We are far from being perfect. I mean, it's the best money that we have, but it's far from being perfect. It's like democracy is the worst type of government, except of all the others, you know, like, this is the thing. You have many things to improve, but you can't improve Bitcoin's privacy at the same time, like educate some decision makers on why it is beneficial to not tax your population by money printing and by inflating the money supply, because you will hit the poorest the hardest, and you will end up with an uprise that we see all over the world, and that cannot be in the interest of a government anyways, you know, regardless whether you're a pro or con of governments. But if you're like stealing from the poorest persons in your country, then this is not going to be running smooth for an extended time period. Actually, I'm surprised that we were coming so far, to be honest. And we did not see anything of the money printing effects yet that happened during the Corona crisis in the United States.
Basically,
yeah.
There's a lag though between money printing and inflation or whatever. Like for example, gold, the rock, shiny rock, had its highest value in 2011, like a couple years after money printing happened.
Yeah, exactly.
Like because the velocity of money slows. Like nobody is doing business right now. Like DXY is low, oil is not trading that much, demand is low. So once it picks up, then we'll see the effects.
Yeah, hold on to your sats, guys. Hold on to your sats, guys.
Oh, yeah.
No, I disagree. Don't spend your sats wisely and try to keep most of them and really try to not spend any sats that you really don't want to spend. I think spending Bitcoin is also really important. Otherwise, people like Max couldn't survive, you know?
You're right, man. He chose the wrong currency. It's true.
You actually really have to spend your Bitcoin. Otherwise, you're not going to eat. Right? So if you want to get a good steak, you got to spend your sats.
Starving.
No, I spend sats because I really like, I mean, oh, come on. I'm not going to hold anything in Turkish lira. So I keep in Turkish lira. So when I run out of money, I have to spend sats. And next time I get paid, they all become Bitcoin again. And then they become lira again. So.
Yeah, that's a great approach, actually. That works quite well. I mean, we have nowadays very powerful tools where you can actually convert all your salary into Bitcoin and later on, step by step, withdraw some Satoshis in order to, I don't know, buy a steak. I think steak is the most important thing in the Bitcoin universe. Meat, basically. And then all the rest. But meat is the highest priority.
It's beans.
I say I'm really diversified because my family has a farm. We have cows and bulls and land. So I have the real estate part there, you know.
It's really an ongoing business
and I have Bitcoin. So I have enough diversification, you know. So.
Yeah, that's my point. You can have the credit card. I'm not gonna name names. That you load your satoshis on, and then you just spend in the supermarket or wherever, with a credit card that has satoshis on it. You spend fiat, which is awesome. You know, Bitcoin goes up 20%. You say, "Wow, today I get 20% discount in whatever shop I'm gonna buy anything." So it's like a really convenient way of using it, and we are at the point where we actually can use Bitcoin in our daily lives, and there is like you can really convert at the beginning of the month when you receive your salary. You can just convert your money into a Bitcoin and then just live off the Satoshi's stack.
You know what's the biggest advantage? It's being stingy. I'm not kidding. Okay, I as a kid was the most stingiest person I have ever seen. I'm not kidding. Like, I was real stingy. I wanted a toy, for example. I would wait for years for its price to go down. Then I would grow up, and then I wouldn't want it. It's a big advantage, you know.
It's true. Yeah, it's true. You focus much more what you really need.
But
because
then
it hurts
I became a teenager, and there's this shit called testosterone. And things changed a little. But anyhow...
I would like to make a suggestion. I think turning your fiat at the beginning of the month into precious Bitcoin is a great idea, but it's even better to earn Bitcoin. directly. And one way I would like to shill here is to basically make a Bitcoin sticker shop on our BTC Pay Server instance from the Ideas Are Like Flames collective, and download the PDF sticker designs and print them out and sell them to other Bitcoiners for Bitcoin.
Yes, and, wink.
That's something that has been working pretty well. We have now one sticker shop in Brazil that is selling the stickers in Portuguese, and another one opened up in Netherlands, and there are some more popping up. I think it's really nice way to get familiar with having a Bitcoin business, even if it's just a small one. But you know, your node gets liquidity, you get used to it, to the processes, you get your hands dirty, and that's invaluable experience. So Max is doing it right. I'm a huge fan, Max. I still can't buy my potatoes for Bitcoin, but I don't know how you did it. But
I'm telling you, local farmers.
I'll sell you potatoes for Bitcoin, by the way.
No, I don't want this anymore. No. But I'm telling you, the actual entrepreneurs.
Everyone is a scammer.
And convince them, because you know Bitcoin is made for entrepreneurs. So if they're actually good entrepreneurs providing a good service, they want to have a good money to be rewarded. So they're going to get it pretty swiftly. Specifically when they're already interested in, you know, freedom, gold, whatever it is, it can be decently successful. And you don't need much. You only need a couple suppliers of the stuff that you really want, like a couple good butchers. If you get that, to be onboarded, that's fantastic. I just had a phenomenally beautiful, beautiful steak paid here in Parallel Only Pull List for Sats. And the actually huge plug. If you're ever in Prague, if you're ever in Parallel Only Pull List, Sushi Vidushi is a damn delicious restaurant, and the dude is incredible and demands to be paid in Bitcoin. So that's where you're gonna get some high quality sushi and steak.
Great.
By the way, pretty. So, the prices I get for stickers are cheaper than the bond you pay.
Yeah, that's a good arbitrage opportunity. You can make money.
I did run the numbers.
Very good. And the incentive is there. I mean, seriously, it's 615 sats. Yeah, if you can print stickers cheaper than that, then you can make some, you can stack sats by spreading the word about Bitcoin in your local community. So,
yeah, I'm hosting my first meetup this week, next week, and I'll hand out some stickers and I'll ask people to install Vault of Satoshi and the Telegram bot. But I donated ahead of this to the Telegram BTC Street Art bot, so I feel comfortable with that.
Yeah,
I'll abuse the Satoshi space.
It's a very fresh release. Make sure to check it out. Thank you for shilling it, Snackmore. We have a Telegram bot where you can get the stickers, where you can apply for bounty, and you can donate to the bounty pool, and you can also, there are links to shops that sell the stickers. So the Ideas Are Like Flames.com shop is in it. The Fulmo guys have a shop. There's a shop in Sao Paulo and another one in Netherlands. I don't know the exact location. But yeah, it's a good starting point if you want to get involved. And yeah, also a good way to basically get your hands dirty with Bitcoin with small amounts and have some fun.
All right. I think we reached the end of this show because we need to start
I'm kidding.
We could stay here all night long, but we need to keep going and keep the show going. Well, I thank all of you for coming, and Chep is going to be staying with me. And so, yeah, thanks guys for coming. I really appreciate you coming and talking to us and all the viewers who are listening right now. Yeah, the Institute of Crypto Anarchy. Oh, yeah.
Okay, goodbye, guys.
Yeah, it was a pleasure.
Yeah.
A pleasure, yeah.
It was a very good
All right,
show.
So.